When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Matthew 16:13-16. And now it's time for Who Do You Say I Am with Father Mitch Pacwa. And now, Father Pacwa.
The peace of God be with you. I'm Father Mitchell Pacwa, and we're here to talk about the New Age movement. Now, before we get into today's program and its topic, I'd like, first of all, to point out that we're going to be discussing crystals eventually, and the way the New Ages use crystals. But I avoid buying stuff from the New Ages as much as I can. And so, we're growing our own. And we've just started it, and we're going to let the crystals grow and develop as time goes on. And you can see that it's just a little bit of growth going on. It looks like a little bit of salt in some water. But eventually these will become crystals that we'll be able to look at. I don't know what shape they'll be or color or anything. It's as much a mystery to me as it is to you. But we'll talk about crystals and what's behind it in science and so on in future shows. But for now, we'll just see the progress of the growth of the crystals. Today, I'd like to spend a little bit more time on our brains. Hopefully, our brains are not like crystals, but are actually a lot more intelligent. Growing, perhaps, but, you know, not into rock. Now, one of the things that, before we talk about the brain itself in the New Age movement, we have to take a look at, you know, why are they into this? We've talked about a number of reasons that people get into the New Age movement, what motivates them. One of the things that we have to see is that it's motivated by a search for meaning. I've been so impressed throughout my research in the New Age movement, and all the books I've read by them in particular, but how often they say, we want to know the meaning of life. What's the purpose of life? Why am I here? Where did we come from? Where are we going? Now, as Christians, we should have a good sense of that, you know, and that we have something to give them. God has revealed a lot to us about the meaning of life. But again, as we've said so many times, for us to be able to address the New Agers, we need to be able to understand their quest, their questions. Why are they into this search? Why did they lose direction? And why did they lose a sense of meaning? Let's see about some of the issues. One of them is that for many New Agers, the normal sources of authority in our society have lost their authority. They don't believe the church, the government, family, and they question everything. This is partly a response to the consciousness movement of the 60s or the whole counterculture of the 1960s. All of this comes from you know people who didn't know the meaning anymore of stuff and felt lied to after Watergate and so on. So what do we see? I'm quoting again from Marilyn Ferguson, who wrote The Aquarian Conspiracy, one of the basic New Age books. And she says that, you know, in quoting the psychologist Abraham Maslow, that humans have an innate drive beyond basic survival and emotional needs, a hunger for meaning and transcendence. And this concept of self-actualization has rapidly gained adherence. That is, that we have a sense that when our material needs are taken care of and we live in safety and all that, we have enough air, water, and survival needs, then we want to find the meaning of life. That's a higher, and that's where we become actualized. And that's what a lot of New Agers are looking for. They don't find that you know, with the government or the politics of the society. They find instead a lot of materialism, so they want to look for something else. Now, Ferguson will also say that only religion can carry the load of the future. So it has to be a religious quest for meaning. But, she adds in the Aquarian Conspiracy, not the religion of the churches, but the spiritual dimension that transcends customs and politics. So she's saying that we can't depend on religion as we've understood it in the church. We have to go and find another dimension and another way of looking at things. She says in another place, neither state nor political parties nor organized religion could provide either an intellectual or a spiritual home for this thrust for meaning, that is. Institutions were too bureaucratic, too impersonal. And people feel lost. Now, this is something that we have to be aware of as we talk to New Agers. They feel that the church is too impersonal, too bureaucratic. It's too concerned with its structures. It tries to get money to send to this place and that place and doesn't deal with people. And because people feel so lost in the search for meaning, and they feel like they're just a little microbe walking around on this planet, and they don't know the meaning of their life. Well, that's something that we have to address and something that we have to avoid in ourselves. We can't be bureaucratic and say, look, this is the party line, that's it, you're wrong, you're going to hell, that's the heck with you, I don't care. That's exactly the opposite of what people need. They want to find meaning, and they want to find it spiritually. But they're willing to go anywhere to find it, too. But if we ourselves can be sensitive to where other people are searching and the real questions, we might be able to have something to say to them. We also see rejection of family. Sondra Ray, who wrote the book, co-authored the book Rebirthing, says, the fact is, you were a divine being when you came out of the womb. See, she says that you were God when you were born. Your parents began to disapprove of you, and you resented it. That's the source of the problem, your family. Your parents disapproved of your existence, and you resented it. Eventually, you gave up and surrendered your loyalty to your divine nature and decided to follow instructions. So again, the enemy is just following what society instructs you to do. And you've lost loyalty to your own inner divinity, according to Sandra Ray. Now, this is how far the search for meaning has gone. She says, I wanted to find answers in my life. I became totally willing to be a complete student and devotee of the process and of Leonard. Now, Leonard is her teacher. People are willing to learn if they have a sense that the teachers love them and care for them. And so must it be with us. If we're to teach people about Christ, we also really have to know that we're loved by Christ. Not that we are God, like the New Agers want to say. We don't have to know that we're divine, but rather that we are loved infinitely and personally by God who is divine, and that we can love other people back. Well, this search for meaning has led them to look for new paradigms for understanding reality. We're going to come back in just a moment to take a look at what those new paradigms are and what meaning they have for the New Age movement. So please stay with us. We've been talking about the way New Agers have turned away from the traditional sources of wisdom and authority in the West and in the church in particular, and are looking for a new way to understand the world and a new source of meaning for their lives, because they really want to find meaning and find that they're loved and lovable. And it's so important that they're right in that search. And we really should affirm that search to find that they are loved infinitely, because they are. Where we have to break company with them is when they say that they are themselves infinite. That's not true, but they are loved infinitely, as we all are. Because the only way that God can love us is infinitely. God has no other capacity except to love us with everything He is, which is infinite. Now, what are they substituting? The New Agers are saying, as we've talked about before in the shows on pantheism and monism, that they believe that everything is God, and they are God especially. And the New Agers especially focus on humans as being God and having divine soul. And what they affirm from the Vedantas, which are Hindu interpretations of the Upanishads from around 700 A.D., what they learned from the Vedantas, the Vedantic literature, and from Tantric Hinduism, is that all of the world that we see around us is an illusion. It's not really there. It's what they call Maya. Now, we had spoken of this when we talked about Christian Science. Christian Science believes the same thing, that all the world is an illusion. The physical world is. Only spirit is real. And, as a matter of fact, there's a joke Dr. Walter Martin, a friend of mine, used to tell about the Catholic who went to hell and a Protestant and a Christian Scientist. And the Catholic said, oh, if I only would have done what the priest said and went to confession, I wouldn't be here. And the Protestant said, yeah, I know what you mean. If I would have confessed on my Lord Jesus Christ, I wouldn't be here either. And the Christian Scientist kept on saying, I'm not here. I'm not here. This is an illusion. And that's the same thing that a lot of New Agers would say about hell, too. And about not only hell, but again, about the whole world. Everything physical is just an illusion, Maya, as the Hindus call it in Hindi. Now, this is a completely different way of looking at the world than we're accustomed to. Western people, you know, are accustomed to thinking of the world as quite real. When we say that we're in this room and you're watching me, there are lots of you out there watching me, and you're all seeing the same picture. You think that that picture is real. I think that it's real. I think what I'm saying is real. But, in fact, the New Agers would say, at least many of them, that it's not, and it's all an illusion. Now, this requires us to have a complete paradigm shift. Now, a paradigm is not a small coin that's worth two nickels. No, a paradigm, according to, let's quote Marilyn Ferguson from the book Aquarian Conspiracy, she says, a paradigm is a framework of thought. Now, she's talking about the way you think about the world, the way you put the world into a framework, the way your basic assumptions of the world work. A paradigm, she says, is a scheme for understanding and explaining certain aspects of reality. See, do you believe that the world is real, or do you believe that it's fake, it's an illusion? Now, those are two basic different paradigms. A paradigm shift is a distinctly new way of thinking about old problems. And according to Ferguson, that a paradigm shift is what the New Age is about. A totally different way of thinking about the world and shifting our focus away from thinking of it as real to unreal and illusory. Only through a new mind can humanity remake itself, and the potential for such a new mind is natural. Aha! So not only are we going to see the world as being an illusion, but we're going to gain through that, according to the New Agers. They believe we're going to have a new consciousness and new powers of the mind. And this is going to be a constant theme we're going to develop many ways and many times throughout this whole series. Drawing fully from our inner resources, we can achieve a new dimension of mind. We can see more. Now, this is something that will also draw heavily from Tantric Hinduism, where they'll see that not only can the mind see more, but the mind is going to be able to have a whole new sense of its power. That we're going to see that there is awakening, flow, freedom, and unity and synthesis that are not all in the mind, they're in the brain as well. And that the human mind is going to be able to synthesize and pull together everything, according to this very tantric Hinduism view. And Ferguson and some of the other New Agers disagree. Some of them would say that it's not in the brain. You know, someone like one of the spirits, Ramtha, who is, you know, claims to be a 35,000-year-old spirit from Atlantis, you know, says that it's not in the brain, okay? Other people say that it is in the brain, like Ferguson, and that the brain itself is not just the mind, but it's even more, and it has its own powers. She says that the human brain and the human brain behavior are almost unbelievably plastic. The proven plasticity of the human brain and human awareness offers the possibility that human evolution may can lead to collective evolution. That you can so change and remold and reshape the brain and its powers that it will have all sorts of human powers and evolution coming from it. Now, this power to, you know, develop the brain will lead us to be able to control reality. And there are some groups, for instance, Werner Erhard, whom we'll talk about again in the future in more detail, who says that your brain is so much power and your mind is so much power, it creates all of reality. Now, this flows very much out of tantric Hinduism. And that everything you see is controlled by us. However, this leads to all sorts of, you know, madness. As a matter of fact, he said to a woman who was robbed that you caused that to happen. And Erhard had said to one person that, or at least, or to a group, according to a book I read, that the Jews created the concentration camps. That was something from their own minds because they wanted to deal with, you know, their own, you know, life in some way. They wanted to work through their karma or whatever. Well, that becomes absurd. The mind doesn't have that kind of power. Nor should we start to teach that it has that kind of power. But rather, that we should see that the mind is limited in its power, and that God is the one who has all power. We'll be back to continue this line of thought in just a moment, so please stay with us. Welcome back. We've just been talking about one of the New Age beliefs that the mind has uncontrolled power. And that this is something that influences people like Werner Erhard in his Erhard Seminar Training, or EST. Also influences Jose Silva in his Silva Mind Control, which we'll also discuss in future shows. But for now, just to see the basic philosophy of the New Age movement, as believing in this paradigm shift and the great power of the brain. Again, I'd like to quote from Marilyn Ferguson, who says, "Given the proper circumstances, the human brain has boundless capabilities for paradigm shifts. So there's no limit to how much you can shift the way you think about the world. It can order and reorder itself, integrate and transcend old conflicts. So it can keep on going and going and changing all sorts of things." Another person, as a matter of fact, quoted by Marilyn Ferguson, a psychologist named Keith Floyd, goes even a step further. Not only can we keep on changing the shifts in the way we think about the world, but this is what he says. "Contrary to what everyone knows is so, it may not be the brain that produces consciousness, but rather consciousness that creates the appearance of the brain, matter, space, time, and everything else we are pleased to interpret as the physical universe." Now see how he says that the brain, the consciousness that we have, isn't created by the brain, but rather consciousness creates the brain and even the physical universe. Your mind, your consciousness, creates the stars. And the conclusion that they draw from this is, if you develop your consciousness, you can create even more powerful things. Now, this is a problem, I think. One of the things that we see in the Bible throughout is that God claims to be the sole creator and doesn't make us co-creators, doesn't make us people who create the existence of the solar system or anything else by our consciousness, but rather it's given to us and we're to be the stewards, not the creators of it. Fellow creatures with everything else that exists, and enjoy just being fellow creatures with the rest of the stars. Also, something else that Ferguson says is that the brain's neural, that's talking about the various neurons inside of the brain, so the brain's neural interference patterns, its mathematical processes, may be identical to the primary state of the universe. That is to say, our mental processes are in effect made of the same stuff as the organizing principle. Now, again, we have problems here. That our brain is the same thing that organizes, or the same stuff that organizes the whole universe. I think not. And Christianity thinks not. That we are part of what's organized. In other words, we share in the organizing principle that God puts into everything. God has organized the universe. God has set things in proper order. And that's wonderful. We didn't do it. We don't have to. You know, we don't have to have the whole world depend on us. But rather, we depend on the rest of the world. We're part of the rest of the world. We are part of the organizing principle God has put into the creation, rather than us being the organizing. See the difference? It's subtle. And in so many ways, people are attracted to the New Age because some of the ideas come close to the truth God tells us about himself and the truth we would find from logic and reason and philosophy. But it's just going beyond it a little bit. By going too far, it becomes untruth. And we have to say, no, I'm not going to buy that. Now, in fact, what do we have to say to all this in terms of Scripture? About this idea that our brains have all these capabilities because they're divine, because we are all part of this pantheistic world according to the New Agers, that because the New Agers say that everything is God, I'm God, my brain is God, my consciousness creates the world, this is what they're all leading to. What does the Lord say to that in Scripture? I think there are a number of things that we can look at. First of all, again from the book of the prophet Isaiah, we see him speak to Lucifer, that is the light bearer, all right? And says, "How have you fallen from heaven, light bearer, son of morning? You are cut down to the earth, prostrate before the nations. Though you said in your heart, I will ascend heaven. Above the stars of God, I will raise my throne." You see the arrogance that Lucifer is spoken of here? And actually this Lucifer here in Isaiah 14 refers to the king of Babylon, who says, "I will ascend heaven. Above the stars of God, I will raise my throne. I will sit on the mountain of meeting in the recesses of the north." This mountain refers to a mythic mountain like Mount Olympus, where the gods of Greece dwelt. And the Canaanites had a mountain that they thought was way up in the north where the gods met, like Mount Olympus. And so did the Babylonians. "I will ascend to the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." So here we see, what's the fault of the king of Babylon, the light bearer, Lucifer? What's his fault? He said, "I'll be like God. I'll go up to the mountains of God." What does God say to that? Instead, "You will be brought down to Sheol," that is the place of dead, the dead, or Hades, "to the recesses of the pit." If we try to make ourselves God, we'll actually end up bringing ourselves down. When we try to make ourselves have the power that belongs only to God, we make ourselves instead like demons and do horrible things in the name of our divinity. This is one of the things that the Nazis did. They claimed to be the supermen. The Übermensch, as they said in German. And they weren't. By trying to say that they were supermen, they wanted to get rid of everybody who was weak. And they made themselves in control of life and death. They can't do that. They tried to make themselves higher than the heavens, higher than God's law. And they ended up leading to the execution of millions in the concentration camps. 6 million Jews, millions of Poles, Gypsies, and many others. Because they wanted to be like God. It demonizes us to be like God. We see also in the prophet Ezekiel another criticism, where he says, "Son of man, say to the ruler of Tyre." Now, son of man is the prophet. And the king of Tyre, the city of Tyre, which is now Lebanon, says, "Thus says the Lord Yahweh, because your heart is exalted and you say, I am God. I sit in the seat of God in the heart of the sea. You see, ancient people thought that they were God too. So what does God say? It says, you are human and not God, though you made your heart like the heart of God. You try to put your mind into being like God's mind, but you aren't. We also see in the book of Acts of the Apostles, Herod was sitting on the judgment seat, arrayed in his royal clothing. He made a speech to the people, and the mob cried out to him and said, the voice of a God and not of a man. They said that he's a God to Herod. Immediately, an angel of the Lord struck him down because he did not give the glory to God, and he died being eaten by worms. That we're not like God, and God won't let us be that because we're not capable of it. We're not capable of telling the stars what to do. We can't create a star or a heaven or anything like that. Rather, we're fellow creatures who are here like all creation to worship God, to praise God, to give Him all the glory. And may you do the same. God bless you all.